Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 weeks of fitness, episode number 92. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode is brought to you in partnership with O2 Worldwide, creators of O2 drops, liquid stabilized oxygen and minerals. Studies have shown that disease cannot exist in an oxygenated environment. When you give your body what it needs, the body will heal itself. Try O2 drops today and feel the difference. For more information, visit www.giveyourbodythebest.com or call 917-523-7379 and learn how O2 drops can help improve your physical and financial health. Teresa Wells, Coach Wells as she's known, is not just the owner of Tone at Home Fitness, a mobile fitness training support company. She is also a certified group fitness instructor, a graduate of both the University of California at San Diego and the University of San Diego. She earned her BA in Urban Studies and Planning with an emphasis in Education and Community Dynamics, and later obtained a Master's in School Counseling and PPS credential. This passion of fitness and combination of a counseling background allows her to understand and empathize with those who struggle with the socio-emotional issues that are deeply rooted in most individuals' abilities to become psychologically fit in order to become physically fit and lead a healthy lifestyle. Coach Wells is also a certified boot camp fitness instructor who has created her own boot camp fitness workout called Backyard Boot Camp. She is a licensed Zumba instructor and holds an Insanity certification, coaches runners of all levels, and is a nutrition coach. She teaches life skills and is a trainer in health, wellness, and healthy lifestyles. Teresa is also an endurance athlete who competes in several full marathons and half marathons. When she is not paying it forward, training, or competing, Teresa is busy helping others in the fight against obesity. I am pleased to have Teresa Wells on my 6 weeks of fitness program. Teresa, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well.
How is it out there in, I used to say sunny California, but it's not sunny anymore.
The weather has been shaking. We've had a few storms going through over 2 weeks this past week. We were blessed with no rain, a little bit of warmth, still, you know, a chill, but, you know, not as bad as it was a couple weeks ago.
I'm here in New York. We're looking at more like snow and whatever. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
but before we talk about your fitness company, Teresa, Tone at Home Fitness, let's talk a little bit about you. Okay. What was your life like as a child growing up in San Diego?
Well, I can say that, you know, being in San Diego with the warm weather afforded us a lot of park time and beach time, you know, yes, when we could get outdoors. And as a small child, you know, in my house, it was like, if there's no school, you go outside, you know, that old school thing, come in when the porch light comes on. Until then, I don't want to see you. So me, my brother, my sister, we were pretty active outside, riding bikes, skateboards, you know, playing with our friends, double dutch. I was the oldest, the tomboy, playing tackle football in the street with the boys versus Barbie doll with the girls. But, you know, it was, yeah, active, fun, cool. You know, it has its ups and downs. But I can say it was a pretty good childhood.
I noticed that you have a degree in education, but your passion is fitness. How do you marry the two of them?
I think marrying the two of those was easy for me in that my job in education is of public service, serving to our, you know, students, to the parents, our teachers, working with people all the time. You know, it's not just the students you work with. You have to deal with the parents' emotional needs, you know, yes, the teacher's emotional needs, and doing that for over the course of 14 years actually prepared me to deal with let's say, the emotional turmoil that some of our clients go through.
I see. And now, do you still work with children in schools?
Yes, actually, I still do. I'm still a school counselor. Middle school students the last 3 years, so a whole lot of emotion going on there at that age.
Are these teenagers?
Yeah, what you would consider preteen. They're coming in at 12 years old.
Okay, wow. Yeah, that's a pretty intense age, right?
Yeah.
So what's more problematic, the kids or the parents?
Quite honestly, it is the adults. The kids, we expect them to behave in certain ways and to display certain character because they're growing, they're learning, especially in middle school. Their hormones are all over the place. They haven't quite adjusted from being elementary school students coming in as sixth graders. Then you have the eighth graders that think they know everything. So in, you know, doing that separation thing from parents and the rolling the eyes, it's a lot of patience. And out of all that, though, like I said, the adults are the most difficult to work with. And I can definitely see the change over the decades working in the school as far as how the relationships have developed between the parents and their children and the morals and things or lack thereof that I have come across in the past few years.
So you're saying that it's gotten worse.
Yeah. So if you can consider this being an education boot camp as far as learning how to work with emotional needs, social emotional needs. And learning needs that the children have and helping them work through all the things that they think are really big that aren't to us but are a big deal to the kids.
Yes. Wow. Very, very interesting. I didn't know being in a school system is not easy.
It is very, very, very stressful. So if a teacher or counselor loses it, give them a break.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of things that go on that people just are not aware of that as educators we have to deal with outside of working with your children. So that's why I have a deeper understanding and connection with my client. And being a fitness instructor is kind of like being a bartender or a hairdresser. They come out there, work out, and they spill their life story to you sometime. And you have to be prepared to fulfill that need that they have in order to get them through their workout.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I totally understand. Now, also understand that you were in a car accident that prohibited you from working out and training for some time. Now, when did that happen? What type of injuries did you sustain, and are you fully recovered?
Well, the accident happened January of 2016. I remember the exact date, Wednesday, January 13th. I was actually on my way to work. So between 8:20 there in the morning, sitting in standstill traffic, gridlock pretty much. Truck came flying down the highway, not paying attention. As soon as I came to a stop, out of habit, I look in my rearview mirror because this freeway was just a dangerous freeway. I mean, I've almost been sideswiped on that particular highway many times trying to get to work. But this person speeding, not paying attention, barely had time. He barely got to tap his brake before he slammed into the back of my vehicle. And thrusted me into another truck that I was parked behind on the freeway.
Oh, my goodness.
So I ended up having two impacts. And I believe I was probably in a little bit of shock, didn't know that till afterwards. I saw him coming, and I just relaxed my body and tried to put my hands up in front of my face. It didn't have enough time for that to happen. He hit me so hard, I actually lifted up off my seat, even with the seatbelt on. And was busted up over the top strap that goes across your chest.
Yes.
And if that other truck, if I wasn't parked so close on the bumper of that other truck, I would not be here having this interview with you right now. That truck actually that I was thrusted into kept me from going through the windshield because my airbag never deployed.
It never, the airbags never deployed, really.
No, it did not. So I actually saw myself getting ready to go through the windshield because the doctors couldn't believe that I didn't black out because they can tell how hard I was hit from behind by my injuries. Yes. I was like, no, I never blacked out. And I was about to hit the windshield. Then I was knocked back down into my seat and smashed between two trucks. I will say that, you know, give them their props, Honda. I would say they make really good cars. I got lucky the way they constructed the car. And it was an old one. I was in a 94. Apparently, the car was made to collapse because if it wasn't, my back seat would have been in my front seat and I would have been pinned to the parallel.
Oh, my goodness. What type of... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, so I was just going to say it's just pretty bad.
Yeah. What type of injuries did you sustain?
Several. There was a lot of soft tissue damage in an accident of that magnitude. I have now have bone spurs in my neck throughout my back. I have arthritis now in my back that was not there before. Mm. I have muscle spasms from time to time. I had a very bad concussion. Didn't know I had a concussion until a week after the accident. Just felt funny. My behavior was off.
Really? Really? Behavior?
Yeah. My behavior was off. I was instantly the snap. There was no thinking involved. So I just, okay, something's not right. So I went to the doctor, like I said, a week later, found out I had a very bad concussion. At the time, he thought it was a mild one, but I went back a week later, and they found that the concussion was really worse than what they initially thought. So I have some neurological damage, some short-term memory loss. So they can say it can take a minimum of a year to up to 2 years to heal because once that tissue in the brain is damaged, it never repairs itself. So they said, you know, memory exercises, I have to have, you know, rest when I need it because it will disrupt, you know, anytime I'm stressed out, overwhelmed, exhausted, it will just disrupt my thinking process.
I see.
So, yeah, some neurological damage, spine up there in my T-spine up there, the thoracic spine, upper middle back, between the rhomboids, all that area, the base of the neck. It's still, those are the two areas that they get really tender. And so I'm still in treatment.
Mm, major damage, major. Jeez, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So you must be in therapy now, or were you in therapy for some time?
The medical treatments have been ongoing since the accident. The good news is they have lessened. I was going 3 to 4 times a week for like 3 to 4 months. A lot of the lack of my healing properly in the beginning was due to work. So when summer break came, since schools are out during the summer, and I was able to get a little more rest, I started healing a little more and properly. But I still am dealing with some pain. It's more discomfort now than it was severe pain in the past.
Wow. But now, after all this, you're still able to get back on track and start exercising again and working out.
Yeah, it was a slow process. I was told by one doctor, because it was the first time I've ever had a team of doctors, so I had to adjust to that. Told that I probably wouldn't be able to run again, and I looked at her and said, "You lost your mind." they knew I was a marathoner because the only time, because I was very unhealthy before, and I became healthy, and so I wasn't at the doctor as much. So when I went, it will be, you know, a random event, something I felt I probably really need to go for. And, you know, doctors, before they found out I was a marathoner, were concerned because my heart rate was so low. But I told them what I was doing, and they were like, okay, that's normal for that. And they kind of calmed it down. So I would go for athletic injury before the accident here and there, and that's about it, like a torn groin, runner's knee, that type of thing. Other than that, they would never see me up until this accident, but I wasn't going to let them tell me I wasn't going to run again. It still took a minute for me to move because I went through about a depression as an athlete, not being able to do what it is I do because it's a part of me.
Right. Yes.
But as I said, I got better over the course of the summer, was able to do walk-run versus just walking every couple weeks. Did a lot of pain management courses over the summer while I was on summer break, and I was like, I have to run. I was like, I gained 30 pounds since the accident.
Did you now?
Oh, yeah, it was awful. That even just messed me up even more when that happened. And something's there that made me continue to do it. But it's been a battle. And eventually after the walk running, I was able to just run nonstop, very slow pace, not race pace. And then just moved on from there until now. My furthest run I've done was easy 7 miles. And since December, I've implemented some weight training.
You're amazing, honestly.
Well, thank you.
Now, let's talk about your company, Tone at Home Fitness. Explain what Tone at Home Fitness is all about. What do you do?
Well, what I do, when I came up with the name, I had to decide what I wanted to do. Did I want to work out of a gym, try to open my own facility? And I said, I want to offer something different. And I said, you know what? I'm going to be mobile. I'm going to go to people's homes or their businesses or meet them at their favorite beach or park and, give them their training there, do their workout there. And so that's how I came up with the name Tone at Home Fitness, because most of my clients will be working out from their home.
Good. Sounds great. It's more convenient. And right, I guess the benefits of working out at home is they don't have to pay for a gym membership, right?
Exactly. And, I'm always asked, what's the difference between you and me going to a gym and getting a trainer? I said, well, the difference is I come to you. You don't have to leave your house.
Yes.
If you are one of those people lucky enough to have those leisurely lunches for an hour or so, I can come to your job or, meet you wherever and provide you with your workout, at wherever is convenient for you. I said, not only that, I can give you advice you won't get from a trainer in a gym, which is nutrition advice. You might get, bits and pieces here and there, what they're allowed to share working up under a commercialized facility. Whereas I can pretty much tell you, okay, if a person tells me, well, I'm an athlete, this is what I would like to work on, then I'm going to design a workout program catered to that individual and teach them about a nutrition plan that goes along with the workouts that they're doing or the sport that they're participating in.
Now, how important is nutrition?
Oh, it is very, very, very important. You can work out all you want. You can go out and sweat and, try to pass out or be in beast mode, as my son calls it, or whatnot.
Yes.
But if you're not eating properly, there is no way the fat is coming off your body. You'll get lucky, lose some water weight, lose a few inches here and there, but you will never be at the point where you want to be. You'll still be holding on to a little fat cells. You won't have maybe the energy or the strength that you need to get through a particular workout or training day. So it's all about what you put in your body.
Oh, 100%. All about what you put in is what you get out, right?
Exactly.
Now, how do you assess your clients' fitness levels if you're training them at home prior to a fitness program?
Okay, well, what I do, if it's more of a one-on-one session, personal training, because I also do semi-private, is I schedule a consultation. And during that consultation, we talk about goals, and I explain to them what realistic goals are. And once we get through that, they give me what their three. I tell them to give me three of what their goals are. So they give me those. They also share with me things such as, if they've worked out before, if so, what did they do? Did they like it? Did it get them to where they want to be? Have they ever worked with a personal trainer before? If so, how long did it work? Those type of questions. We also do a fitness questionnaire.
Nice.
And do the typical, when you go to a doctor's office, a health screening. Because I would like to know if they're on any medications, because that can play a big role or impact.
Yes, big time. Yes.
Oh, yeah, because if they're on something like blood thinners, a heart medication, I need to know those things. those are very important. I need to know if they had any surgeries, how long ago. So there's a lot of questions in that health screening that I go through with them. And then, of course, I always tell them before they start any exercise program, if they decide to be with me or anyone else, that they should consider going to see their doctor first and getting a physical exam to find out if there's anything they can't do.
Oh, most definitely. I noticed you said something about realistic fitness goals. Why do you say realistic? Some of your clients have these unrealistic goals?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I say like that the majority of my clients are women. And a lot of them, the first thing they go over, well, I want to lose the fat on my stomach. I want a smaller stomach, which is fine. We all do, especially in women. We hold a lot of our weight in our stomach and our hips, just those areas. Right. And but they want to typically either lose weight for an event that's 2 months away and they expect to be down to this really tiny size.
Yes.
Or they get upset along the way because they say, well, I want to, you know, to have, you know, the tone here or sculpted there, and I just don't see it. And I have to tell them, this takes time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to be difficult, but I'm here to support you and get you through that, through your change, your healthy lifestyle journey. So I have to teach them it's about leading a healthy lifestyle, knowing that it's going to take a couple months before they even see any change in their body. And it's going to take up to 4 or 5 months maybe before anybody else sees a change in their body. So they can't expect to start today, February 1st, and get into that pair of jeans or get down to the weight that they want to do next month.
Right, next month. Exactly, exactly. I tell people, look, it took you 20 years to put it on. Don't expect to take it off in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Be realistic here. But that's good. So you prepare them for the real, you know, for a reality check, you know?
Yeah, and I guess it would be less difficult for me to explain that to them for the simple fact I used to be like my clients. I mean, I've had clients that are severely obese and riddled with diabetes and other health conditions, to those that are just out of shape and want to get in shape, to those who worked out before and want to get started. So I have a variety. But the thing is, was like I used to be that obese person. And people like, no, you weren't, especially before the accident. I mean, I was down to my race weight to 140 pounds. I hadn't been 140 pounds since high school.
Really?
So, yeah, okay. And to have that accident and then gain 30 pounds. So that was, yeah, and prior to that, before I started getting fit, I mean, I was 200 pounds. I'm only 5'7.5", and my doctor was like telling me, you're only getting away with it because you're kind of tall. You know, so that was their way of telling me I need to drop the weight.
Right, exactly.
So that's why, and it took me a minute because the one doctor that told me wasn't my primary care physician. I was at a specialist or something else, and I didn't even realize she was telling me I was fat until I got back to work. I said, she did that so subtly. I'm just now realizing an hour later what she said to me. So, but, you know, that was a light bulb and, you know, so I get it.
Right. Okay. Okay. Now, because you're training your clients at home, what type of equipment do they normally have at home that you can work with?
Well, I do a lot of body weight exercises to start off with. The majority of my clients have not worked out at all before, or it's been some years. And if it's been years, you know, that muscle memory will eventually kick in. But for those that haven't ever worked out at all in their life, I want to start them off with the body weight exercise. I bring equipment, but I bring, because I'm mobile, I don't bring anything over 8 pounds.
Okay. You don't bring anything over 8 pounds. Okay.
No, not as far as the dumbbells, because then I just get heavy and for me. But part of their workout is they have to come to the car and help get the equipment out.
Right.
So that's the part of their workout. So what I do have, though, I do have bands, stability ball. Like I said, I have 5 pound and 8 pound weight, those type of things. I have what do you call those, sling bands. So I have a pull up bar that I will let them use, like if they're doing push ups for the first time for more stability.
Oh yes.
Then I can also use that to have them do dips instead of doing them off the floor or the side of the couch. So there's that type of equipment. And then I have those that live in the luxury condo to have their own gym, and walked into one a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, this is almost as good as the gym I go to. So
I
had a field day in there with them because we had the treadmill. I had to warm up on that. You know, we got, they had heavy enough weights for them to do things like the farmer's walk. So it was cool. So from time to time, they have their own facility to go to.
Okay, what about jump ropes?
Jump rope, a lot of my clients are too heavy for that. So you have to get up and dust it. Yeah. And it'd be a flyweight till I get their joints built up enough, get those muscles around their joints built up enough before doing that. Because when I find one of the things they complain about are their knees. So I have to get them through that mental process first. Because a lot of them, I have to explain them that the problems that they're having will start to lessen and go away once they start exercising on a consistent basis. Because I have to get them to understand that they're carrying so much weight, that's the pressure that they're feeling. So I've had a client before that was a former runner, so it's helping her get back in shape to run a half marathon. Now her, we use jump rope from time to time to warm up.
All right. So, but in your opinion, what is more effective, coach, for someone interested in losing weight? Is aerobic training more effective or strength training, and why?
They're both important. The aerobic training is good for what we say as training stuff is killing fat and also aiding in burning a little bit of those calories, dropping the weight, so to speak. The weight training is good for burning calories because I explained it, even when you're sitting down watching TV after lifting weights, you're still burning calories because your body's healing and repairing that muscle. Because when you're lifting weights, that muscle rips and tears apart and it uses the energy in your body to rebuild itself back on top of each other. And that's how that muscle builds up. And I always use a bicep as an example just because it's an easier visual for them.
Right.
When the muscle repairs is building back right on top of each other, and it's using, at your resting state, it's using actually calories, using energy to make that happen. And so that's how you're allowed to burn more calories and lose weight even when you're resting. So they're both important. You need that weight training, not just to strengthen and for that power. Like, say for me, you're a runner, you need that power in your legs to get up those hills on hill day, most definitely those. And then, if you're a football player, you need to, a receiver, you need to be able to get up in the air, catch the ball. You need to be able to, take off and explode down that field in the soccer as well. So it's all important. It's all important.
Yes, most definitely. Now, the reason I ask is because most women that I know, and the women that I see in the gym, they stay away from the weights, but they'll spend an hour or two on a treadmill or an aerobic class. But they don't realize that weight training is very effective for what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You find that to be the case? Most women, they would rather run or do some type of aerobic activity as opposed to lifting the weights?
Yeah, most. And I won't say all, but some, they have this idea in their head that if they lift weights, that they're going to look like, quote unquote, a man.
Exactly.
And I said, there is no way on this planet that will ever happen unless you're taking steroids. I said, because we don't have enough testosterone in our body for us to bulk up like that. And so I told them this is about the chemical structure and also your DNA has a lot to do with it. And at the time, we all have natural muscle. We just don't see it because we have a lot of fat covering up. But once we burn all that away, say in the turbo kickboxing class, the Zumba class, those type of fitness classes, what are you going to do to build your strength back?
Right.
Because you're eating away. So all that cardio is actually eating away your muscle.
Yes.
So without the weights, you have no way, to build that back up and power the strength, that tonus. And, a lot of women are saying they see these bikini models, or they're watching TV and see these unrealistic images. And I've even had a client say she wanted the dimple. I thought that was funny. I just chuckled.
Yeah.
When she told me, I said, well, you're not going to get those dimples if you don't get over there in the spot machine.
Exactly.
And do these lunges. I don't want to do weights. You're not going to bulk up like a man. And that's false. like I said, and that's where women, but a lot of times they're just scared to go and try it because they don't know what to do, and they won't ask.
Yes, and you're educating them, which is great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Now, in addition to being a health coach, you're also a running coach, right? Which is awesome. So what type of training regimen do you put your clients through if they want to be better runners?
Well, it all depends on the level. A beginning person that's never run before is interested, I'll take them through what we call those couch to 5K cycle programs, where they start off with walking for a couple, few weeks, and then build up to run and then a walk run until they get to the point where they're not walking at all. But while they're doing that, while I'm designing the program for them, say one day I want you, 3 days a week, I want you to start off walking a mile.
Okay.
You know, and then the next week I want you to do the same 3 days and walk around, but I want you to walk faster. And then the third week, I want you to walk half a mile, and then I want you to try to run half a mile. I was like, just very easy, whatever it is you can do. And just start off at what your fitness level is. Because I have to tell, don't worry about what everybody else is doing around you, because then you're going to feel frustrated and want to quit. You're not there yet. Just focus on you, what your goals are, and what you're trying to build up to. Somebody that's an intermediate runner, they've probably ran a half marathon, a couple 5Ks. Then we're looking more at something like my backyard boot camp. I would take them something like that, because now we're talking about agility, we're talking about balance, we're talking about speed and being and exploding out when you need to. So I'm teaching them usually more about turns, like basically what interval running is. And we're doing exercises like step-ups and doing those drills, high knee, butt kicks, things like that, to make sure that they're working on form and technique, you know, so that they're not burning their energy when they should be reserving it because they have sloppy. So then we'll start working on more things like that as the fitness level or the experience goes up.
Now, you're a certified bootcamp fitness instructor, and you created a backyard boot camp. Now, does this mean that you take your clients into the backyard and train, take them through a boot camp exercises?
Well, that's how the name came up, because from time to time, when I was a previous homeowner, I had a huge backyard. So I was like, you know what? I can save me some gas and time by offering personal training here at my house. And I said, I'm going to call it Backyard Boot Camp. I had tires out there, and I left the dirt back there, and I did that on purpose. I didn't want to get, you know, remodel all that, but when I started doing fitness and being a trainer, I said, nope, I'm going to leave it like that because, you know, at some time I knew down the road that I would probably want to do something at my house. So I had like three tires in the backyard, small ones, not the huge ones. I got the small ones so I can do something like if I wanted them to do the toe taps, or if I wanted them to jump, do the vertical jumps and jump up on the tires and back down, that type of thing. Or if I wanted to set them up in the yard so that I had them do drills.
Nice.
And it's for all fitness levels. We're still focusing on all the things that athletes should be focusing on to help them perform better and to be better, improve competitors. But I teach it to the level of the people who were there that day. So I always make sure that I show them, you know, if you're a beginner, the beginning moves, the intermediate moves, and advanced moves, so that everybody can work out at their fitness level regardless of what's going on.
Okay, so no one size fits all, right?
No, I don't believe in one size fits all. Everybody is different. That's what I do. So when people call me and they say, well, I've seen your website, it says this, I say, well, what are you interested in? I said, because this is about you. And I explain to them, I don't do one size fits all. I cater or design my programs toward each individual person because I like to do the whole person approach. And that's where that educational piece comes in, being a school counselor. You know, when you're working with a student, you want to use, I use the whole person approach. Like, it's about you and what's going on with you right now. Okay? I need to support you in this way because this is what your needs are at this moment.
Yes. And you mentioned your education and the work that you do with the school, with the parents, with the kids. How important is mental, emotional, and social health in relation to fitness?
Oh, that is so very important. Let me tell you, we have the middle school that I'm at, we're lucky to have some really good PE teachers, and they've been there for several years, long before I came onto the campus. And they do things like campus run. There's an event once every year down at, we're about a mile or two up from De Anza Cove, from the beach there off of 5. There's an event they have, I think it's around March or April. They do a 5K, and they have some of the kids in the PE classes sign up, and the kids go up there and do the 5K around the beach. Wow. So we're lucky to have that. I even did some of my fitness programs with them. I did it 3 times out of the year in the past, where I was teaching the kids just basic form and technique, and they actually had an educational piece where they had to learn about nutrition while they were with me, and they also had to do the fitness piece. And I actually sat and talked with their parents and let them know what was going on and say they need to come with the right equipment. You can't go to class without a pencil and expect to do work, so you can't come to my fitness class without the right shoes and clothes on and expect to be able to perform.
Yes.
So I had to make sure that they knew that.
Right. Very cool. Very cool.
It helps with their cognition. If they're energized and they're healthy, they're alert in class, they're engaged, they do better, test scores go up, they're getting more of their homework done, they're not cranky and falling asleep after lunch in their fifth period class.
Yes.
So being fit is a good thing for the kids to be in. You know, the more active they are, I think that the more happier they'll be as children. They'll be able to do a lot more and build up their self-esteem and feel good about themselves so that they do better while they're in school and later in life.
Oh, most definitely. There's definitely a connection, a correlation there with fitness and education and success. I'm a firm believer in that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, obesity is a major issue, as you know. And it has increased for the past few years. But in your opinion, why is it so bad today? And what steps, if any, can we take to bring awareness to this very important issue?
I'm glad you asked me that question. It's getting worse instead of better. It's because we glorify eating unhealthy. We glorify eating the crap. It's so much less expensive than the healthy food because they want you to buy it. They don't want to lose your... you can go and get one color cheeseburger from time to time for a fast food place versus going into the store and getting a bag of fruit for $4. When you have it in your head, it's also you're watching TV and you're getting those subliminal messages, and sometimes it makes you get up and want to eat and you're not even hungry. So that's the thing.
Yes.
And people don't know how to shop. They think, oh, eating healthy is too expensive, when in reality, it really isn't. I tell my clients all the time, I have a fitness and nutrition program, that if they sign up for that, they have to do, the minimum they can do is 3 months. Okay? It's going to take 3 months for them to get adjusted to this new lifestyle of eating healthy, because you got to go from buying chips, cakes, cookies, all those unhealthy, empty carbs and sugars, to buying fruit, vegetables. If they throw any bread, you're trying to get them to do the whole grain, stay away from the white bread and stay away from certain things that IBS and GI tract issues. So it's a process. The thing is, stop glorifying the junk food. A lot of it is self-control. They grew up eating unhealthy. You think of all the different cultures, our African-American culture, our Latino cultures. We grew up eating certain foods that cause us to be unhealthy, and we never learned any better because that's what we were taught.
Yes, so true. It becomes a habit and a way of life.
Right, and just because you know to buy vegetables and eat them doesn't mean you don't have to balance your plate either. So there's also portion control and moderation that should be learned as well. Because if you sit there stacking all the food on your plate, no matter if it's healthy or not, it doesn't matter. You're still overeating because you can, do yourself an injustice with healthy food because you're eating too much.
Exactly. And do you think that the public is getting this message, or more work needs to be done?
I think they're slowly starting to get the message. Again, I chuckle at this from time to time when I hear things on the news, and sometimes I'm like, why are they giving these people this misinformation? Because there's things that are on the news that is not correct, and those of us who were trained in this area know that when we hear it, those of us that are at least keeping up, you know, because you have to keep up with your trade in order to be a benefit and support to your clients.
Yes.
And there's, you know, and people go online and Google something, and because they see it on the internet and they went to a certain site, they think it's true. Well, not everything on the internet is true. It's kind of like that commercial, you know, when the lady has this blind date and she actually sees the guy and still believes what he says because she saw it on the internet.
Exactly.
So I had to compare it to that because that's what people do. They're not getting the right information. They're just not. They're just looking at the first thing they see and they run with it. When people want to sign in with me, I tell them, you know, do the background check, do the research. If you have any questions, let me know. I'll be more than happy to answer them. You know, I was like, I want, you know, I have morals and integrity, and I want to make sure, if anything, not just you're the right fit for me, but am I the right fit for you?
Most definitely. Very well said. Very well said, Coach. What's next on your bucket list?
Oh, right now I'm trying to not have to go to the doctor at all. I want to, I would go too big, but this time I have to calm myself down. And eventually on my goals list or bucket list is to run a 5K.
Okay.
Just to see how well I do, to try to get back there, get the feel of the energy and that endorphin, you know, from being in the race,
yes.
You know, running
yes.
against that clock. And I'm so competitive, if somebody passed me, I have to speed up. So I'm making sure that I'm at least strong enough and fit enough to make it through that 5K without damaging current injuries. Or
yes.
creating
oh,
any new ones. I want to make sure I'm strong enough to do that and also train myself mentally to know that it's okay if I can't run as fast as I did 2 years ago because I'm still working on me, trying to build a better me, and eventually
right.
I'll get there because I know for me it will be disheartening when I see the clock and I don't see that 23-minute 5K. That I was
right.
trying to be before the accident. Or if I don't have, you know, eventually when I work up to a half marathon, if I don't see that sub 2, you know, my fastest time on that was 1 hour 56 minutes. That was the happiest day of my life, and I was trying to beat that. I was actually training for the Boston Marathon when I had the accident because I wanted to compete in a certified race for that to try to qualify for Boston.
Oh, really?
So that's still on my bucket list. After the accident, it's like starting from scratch again. Outside of that, as far as my business is building Tone at Home Fitness, making it better than what it was before I had to take the time out to heal from the vehicle accident, I want to make sure that I'm, you know, doing justice for my clients. I want to make sure that I'm basically giving quality services. I'm giving them what I say I'm going to give them, being consistent and following up and following through and being able to meet their needs. So that's most definitely on my bucket list to continue and doing that. And I'm going to have some more online programs I'm going to be working on as well.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, online is definitely the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Especially today, online coaching. Now, how can my listeners find out more about Coach Wells?
To find more about me, my website, toneathomefitness.com. I actually, on Facebook, have a Facebook business page, not my social page, but a business page. And all everyone has to do is go onto Facebook and type in Tone at Home Fitness or type in at TWells1913 to find my business page. And on that business page, I do daily motivational messages Monday through Saturday. I do motivational messages. I post. I try to do daily health tips. You might see
nice.
A video of me working out in the gym to show proper form. And a lot of times it's just so they know that I'm still going through what they're doing and believe me and see it and know that I overstand what it is they're going through and where they're trying to get to. Because then they can hear a trainer yelling at me, telling me I need to stand up straight, fix my back squat, or do whatever it is. So they know I'm human too. I have somebody that yells at me and makes me do what I'm supposed to. Because as a trainer, sometimes a trainer needs a trainer. I've done all I can do with me as a marathoner, so that's now true. It's time for me to be coached.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Are you on Twitter?
Not on Twitter. Facebook business page, like I just said. Instagram. On Instagram, you can find me under Sporty Spice Wells. That's a nickname one of my friends. She started calling me Sporty Spice when I started running, and I just... is stuck. So on IG, Sporty Spice Wells, Facebook business page, Tone at Home Fitness. I'm also on LinkedIn under my name, Teresa Wells.
Oh, nice. Okay, great.
So I'm on LinkedIn there, and let me see. I'm on YouTube. Forgot. You can find me on YouTube under Teresa Wells. I'm on there as well. And I'm on Google.
And you're on Google, of course.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Coach Wells, Teresa Wells, on behalf of Body Sculpt of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I really want to thank you for coming on my show.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you reaching out to me and inviting me to be on the show. It was, like I said, much appreciated, and I was happy to do it.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for my show, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeksoffitness.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.